Caroline, Willie, D Mays, 1025, 1063, the game in the game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. D Mays, myself, we are on remote. Willie is en route to New York. The Predators taking on the Islanders on Saturday, and a quick turnaround taking on the Devils on Sunday on the road. We will get into Ask D Mays in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get your questions in 30 minutes. But first, I want to touch on this, D Mays, because we learned on Wednesday mid-morning that the Buffalo Bills traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second and a 2024 and 2025 fourth. So second next year and two fourths. Then we learned yesterday afternoon per Adam Schefter that the Houston Texans are wiping out three of the final years of Stephon Diggs' 4 years remaining on his contract. They gave him $3.5 million, basically a bonus onto his salary this year. So he'll be making $22.5 million this year, adding the $3.5 million on to just wipe away those final 3 years on his contract. D Mace, make this make sense to me. I don't know why the Texans would do this. I don't know why a team would voluntarily give up player control.
I think it could be one of two reasons here. Because you got to understand, even though, Diggs is still playing good football, they didn't want to be on a hook for that contract. Because I think it was like 18, 19, 19, somewhere. He was going to average basically close to $19 million against the cap, or they would have had to pay him the last, 3 years of his contract. So they wanted to get out of that just in case, things didn't work out well. They didn't stick because they were going to either have to, if it didn't work out, they were going to have to cut him or they were going to have to trade him. And I don't think no one was going to take on that contract after you just took it on. So you would have had to, I believe that's how it worked. Now, if it doesn't work that way, then okay, excuse me for that. But I don't think they wanted to take on the remainder of that contract. And then he didn't, he's betting on himself because I can't see. And this, to me, this all had to be discussed prior to the trade. Like, if we make this trade, then we got to work out a contract, a deal where I give you the extra $3 million this year, but then void the rest of the contract because either you can do that or we're not going to make the deal. He wanted out of Buffalo. I fully believe, or wholeheartedly believe, he wanted out of Buffalo, and he got exactly what he wanted. But Houston, they're doing it because they're going for it this year. That's one reason. Two, they didn't want to take on the rest of his contract, so that's why they redid it, I believe. And then three, this is a, I believe it's a Tank Dell insurance. When they lost Tank Dell, their passing game suffered somewhat. They went from two, playmaking receivers to one. Now they had other guys on the team, but you take away an explosive Tank Dell, that does something to your offense. So I think the Stephon Diggs trade was insurance. But Tank Dell, if he doesn't come back fully healthy, or if it takes him another year to really get back to form, which means if that is indeed the case, we don't need you next year. And if you ball out, then maybe we can rework the deal. But if you don't, we can let you go and let you walk. But I truly believe them reworking the deal or them voiding the rest of the contract, it's a win for the Houston Texans and it's a win for Stephon Diggs because if Stephon Diggs balls out, now we can go into free agency asking for more money. If he doesn't, now Houston's not on the hook for the remainder of the contract.
You lost me at Tank Dell Insurance, I will say, because I don't think that a smart team, would pay $22.5 million in a second round pick just for insurance and just for 1 year of insurance. From Stephon Diggs' perspective, though, I think this is a great gamble on himself because, like you said, if he balls out this season, then he gets an opportunity to sign another contract in an inflated wide receiver market. When he initially signed his contract before Justin Jefferson will sign his deal and Ja'Marr Chase will sign his deal. And what did he sign before Christian Kirk? I can't
Oh,
remember. I would have
Stefon
to look.
Diggs.
Yeah.
Well, his initial contract, it may have been right after Christian Kirk's.
I can't remember, but still, the receiver market has
Yes.
ballooned even since then. So I think this is a good move for Stefon Diggs because he'll be going into his 31-year-old season with a new deal and in an inflated market. So I think that makes sense for Stefon Diggs, and it's really motivation for him. And I think from the Houston Texans' perspective, it tells me one of a few things. Like you said, this is a go for it year, that the Texans think that they can win the Super Bowl this year. And frankly, I don't know if I disagree that they can win the Super Bowl this year, but also it tells me that they don't trust Stefon Diggs. That they
I don't think it has anything to do with the trust, honestly.
well then why want to get out of that contract? If you don't think that he's going to become a problem, then why would you want to incentivize him to ball out this year and like dangle a carrot of a second contract? And why give up player control if you don't think that he's eventually going to become a problem? And with that, if you don't trust the player and you only want a player, or at least, you're only now have him under contract for 1 year, trading a second round pick for 1 year, that doesn't add up to me. The Houston Texans perspective, it just doesn't make sense to me. It feels like you're going all chips in the middle for this season when you really don't have to.
Well, it's not about a all chips for. Now, listen, they are going for it this season, but it doesn't mean we're going for it and neglecting the future. They have the one thing that everybody wants. They have their quarterback, so they will never be neglecting their future. They're saying we have an opportunity to really distance ourselves from the AFC South, as well as from some of these other teams, not named Kansas City, that are in AFC. Now, I don't think they totally distance themselves from, the Baltimore Ravens or the Buffalo Bills. I don't think they've distanced themselves that much from them, but now they've jumped in the arena with them. They're in the same playground with these, three or four teams outside of Kansas City. But to me, this was a let's do it, let's try to do it this year because we're not worried about that. We're not necessarily worried about the second round pick next year. Why? Because we're not a rebuilding team. We're not rebuilding. Our rebuilding has been the last 3 years, and we hit this year because we got a all-world quarterback and we got a defensive player on the edge that seems like he's going to be all-world too. That's why our team looks the way it does now. We can afford to go get Stefon Diggs, forego a second round next year and hope that it works and not be scared to lose the second round draft pick from the next following year, because to them, it's not about having a second round pick or not. It's about positioning themselves in the situation where they are closer to Kansas City than further away from Kansas City. And right now, they are closer to Kansas City than they are farther away than Kansas City. When they made that move for, say, Stefon Diggs, when they went and got the defensive players that they got last this offseason, when they went and got Joe Mixon, they did that to get closer to Kansas City. And they are closer to Kansas City, but they're still in the playground with those three or four teams outside of Kansas City that is going to compete either for that number two spot or that number three spot headed into the playoffs. So to me, it's listen, let's go for it now. We'll worry about the second round pick next year. We're not in rebuild mode. We don't necessarily need it. If we had it, great, but we don't necessarily need it. But what we're doing is if he balls out, we don't want to be on the hook for it. We can work a deal or we can let him walk. If he doesn't ball out, we still can re-sign him to a deal, but we don't have to hold on to the 18, the 19, and the close to the 20 million you would have to pay him over the next 3 seasons. We just don't want to have to pay Stefon Diggs the next 3 seasons as he ages. That's why we voided the contract, gave him extra money, and we want to win now, meaning the Houston Texans.
Then why trade the second round pick for him? See, that's what I don't get, because in individually, we don't want to pay Stefon Diggs and we're going for it this year. Okay. that you're going to trade a second round pick for a player that you only want 1 year out of. And let's say Stefon Diggs has a monster year. Because
Well, they can
do you
resign
believe
him.
that? Are you going to re-sign him to a 3 to 4 year deal when he's 31 years old at $20 plus million dollars a season? When you now have to compete with 31 other teams in the National Football League, when you could have just had him under contract for a lower dollar amount anyway?
And you're right in regards to that, but and I think I believe in the Texans' mind, it's not necessarily about what we're going to do next year. They'll worry about next year's draft when that comes around. They may end up making more moves to get that second round draft pick. It's not set in stone that they will not have a draft pick in the second round next year. I know they've given up their second round draft pick for next year, but then they can make a move, trade a player, and get a second round draft pick back
Sure. Yeah.
next year for the one they gave up this year. So I'm not too worried about the second. I think we're missing it when we just look at the second round pick for next year. Let's just look at this year. They are essentially, like you said, like we've discussed, they are going for it. But they know that even by going for it this year, it doesn't mean that we can't then be in the same position next year with somebody else and still have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I don't think they're thinking about next year's draft when they made that move for Stefon Diggs.
I don't think they were either, clearly, because they gave up a second round pick just for 1 year. And I would agree that I think that Houston is in a window. As long as CJ Stroud is playing like he played last season, and as long as they have all of their young contributors, like they are going to be in a Super Bowl window. Absolutely. It just all of the pieces doesn't really make sense to me. Because if you're going for it this year, like you don't have to just go for it this year. Like you said, as long as you have CJ Stroud, you can be in a window. They can be in that window in 2025. So wouldn't you want to have Stefon Diggs under contract to run it back in 2025? Or are you
Maybe that.
afraid of Stefon Diggs becoming such a problem this season that you don't want him to have that comfort of those extra 3 years on the deal? And I don't
If
know if
they.
that's the truth or not, but if that is the case, why even trade for him in the first place?
If they thought they were going to. My thing is, if they thought he was going to be a problem, they wouldn't have signed him. I think that organization, with that head coach, the GM, where they sit now with the young quarterback, if they truly in their hearts felt he was going to be a problem and he was going to disrupt, sort of the zen of the quarterback, they wouldn't have went out and got him. They wouldn't have. I don't believe they would
I
have.
would hope they wouldn't.
But they, I don't think they're thinking about that. I think they've talked to enough people. They've talked to Stefon Diggs that that part isn't a problem for them. What's a problem is him getting older. So they don't want to be held to that contract. Now, if they choose to sign her to another contract next year, then that's what they will do. But at this present moment, they're not thinking about him next year and whether he's a part of the team or not. They're thinking about what can he do for us this season? And sometimes if you want to make that drastic jump, then you're going to have to give up something drastic to do it. And they gave up a second round pick because they want to make that jump this year. They feel they're close enough. They feel playing the Baltimore Ravens, had they had another bona fide receiver because Tank Dell was hurt, then they probably feel that they would have been in that game. They probably could have won that game. But because they didn't have that secondary scoring from the number two receiver, they had to go out and get insurance. They had to go out and make sure that if Tank Dell doesn't come back 100%, he may end up playing this year. I think he will, but will he look like the same Tank Dell this year than he did last year? More than likely, from history, he won't. It's going to take him another following year to get back to where he was. So if that's the case, I need to go and get insurance. I need to get insurance to make sure we have another bona fide receiver to tag team with Nico Collins and our quarterback, so we will not be deficient in any area. If they don't go out and get Stefon Diggs and Tank Dell doesn't come back fully healthy, this team is battling hard to win the AFC South. Now we're getting Stefon Diggs, they become the front runners.
That's expensive insurance.
Sometimes they
23
listen,
million dollars in a second round
insurance
pick.
can be expensive. It can be expensive.
I don't know if he's as much insurance as he is in addition. Like, because I
I
think
mean,
you could
he's an
find cheaper
addition,
in.
yes, but I think it's an insurance too, just in case Tank Dell doesn't come back, or if it takes him time to get back to where he left off.
It just still, there's just something missing with it to me, I think. Because like I just I if you're so concerned about Stefon Diggs and the age and the contract, why do you trade for him? If you only want 1 year of Stefon Diggs, why do you trade for him? It just it, how many times have you seen an NFL team trade a pick as high as a second round pick just for 1 year of a player? I mean, it's obviously it
I don't think you've ever
happens,
really truly seen it. I mean,
but
now
it
they've went
that's
out and got players. Teams have went out and got players, but I don't know about giving up a second round pick for
a
that player.
second round pick and $23 million just for 1 year, when I think the Texans Super Bowl window is much longer than just 1 year. I think there's something that it just doesn't add up to me from the Texans' perspective of why give up player control of a great player that at least I think the Texans view as the missing piece for a potential Super Bowl run, because why make the move if you don't think that he's going to be that piece for you to make a Super Bowl run? You know what I mean?
No, I
Just something's
understand it.
not adding up.
I understand it. I would have loved to, if Tank Dell didn't break his fibula last season, would they been in the market to get a Stefon Diggs? Because it just seemed like this came out of the blue. Like it was like, okay, least this is how I think about it. Okay, we're evaluating Tank Dell. He's in the facility all the time because he's rehabbing.
Yeah.
Man, we need to make sure we go get some another bona fide guy, either through the draft or make a trade or through free agency. And obviously they probably looked at the free agent wide receiver and was like, nah, this is not gonna help us. So we gotta go down another road to get the guy that we want. And that was trading for a disgruntled player that didn't want to be in Buffalo anymore. Because I guarantee you, if Stephon Diggs wanted to be in Buffalo, Buffalo would have kept him. But I don't think
Totally.
he wanted to be in Buffalo. So they had to get rid of him. And why not, if you're Houston, if they're ready to get rid of him, why not go and make a trade for him when you know in your own house that you're dealing with injuries, that this guy, Tank Dell, may not come back fully healthy and ready to go for the season? That was critical to their quarterback last year, having Nico and Dell. You take one of those guys out of the equation. That does something to the quarterback. Now you add in a Stefon Diggs. Now you're not so much worried about whether Tank Dell is going to be ready day one or if it's going to take him day 50 to get back to where he left off.
And it makes total sense to me why the Texans traded for Stefon Diggs. They're in a go for it mode. They feel like he is that next addition to make their offense even more explosive. Like the move itself, I get it. I totally see it. It's the new move with wiping 3 years off of the contract that that just doesn't make sense to me. Because I don't think that they do that if they wholeheartedly trust in Stefon Diggs on the field or off the field. Because we talked about this whenever the Texans made that move was, look, Stefon Diggs caused a fit in Minnesota. Then they shipped him out of Minnesota to Buffalo. Then he caused a fit in Buffalo. They shipped him out, and they're now eating $31 million in order to just get rid of him. So if the Houston Texans did wholeheartedly trust that Stefon Diggs would not cause a fuss like he did in Minnesota and Buffalo, I don't know why you would want to get rid of 3 years on the contract when you could lock him in.
Because you don't want to be held to that money in the aging wide receiver. He's not getting any younger. And they probably looked at the second half of the season and thought, okay, man, it does look like he's slowing down a little bit, but he still can give us what we need. Because again, Tank Dell is the question mark. So if Tank Dell isn't 100% and ready to go, we need to have somebody. They don't have nobody outside of Tank Dell. I mean, I know they got Meacham, but hell, Meacham been just as injured.
Joe Mechie.
Mechie, not Meacham. Mechie, he hasn't been on the field much either. I think he just got back last year because he was dealing with an ailment.
He's been going through cancer treatment.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So he's been dealing with an ailment. So it's like they're, even though he has come back, they still have to have insurance for two guys that they don't know what they're going to get out of this season. So you went from having a bona fide receiving core to prior to getting Stephon Diggs to really only having Nico Collins. Well, we need to go get another guy. At least that's how I see it. I think
Totally.
that's why they end up making a move.
The move makes sense. The trade makes sense. It's the altering of the contract that just doesn't
He's
really
an
add
older
up
player.
to
That's
me.
what I believe. He's an aging player, and they don't want to pay him that money.
Then why trade for him? That's my thing. Is
Because the
is
quarterback needed help. The
and
quarterback
not
needed another guy.
then why not get a receiver in free agency that you
Because the
don't
free
have
agent
to
pool
trade
of
a second round pick
receivers,
for?
the free agency pool of receivers is trash right now. It's not good. The only person out there, I think, is what, Tyler Boyd. He may be still out there.
Well, like, it's not like the Titans pounced on Calvin Ridley day one of free agency. Like, if the Texans wanted to sign Calvin Ridley, he was there for the taking.
He was there for this. You're absolutely right, but that's a different scenario. That's the guy you got to sign to a long-term deal. Stephon Diggs isn't a guy you have to sign to a long-term deal. You take the deal that he had in Buffalo, you bring it over to Houston, and you find a way to, void the last 3 years of the contract. And Houston has figured it out. They found a way to void the last 3 years. So it's what it basically is. Just look at it like this. It's basically a franchise tag. That's all it is. A franchise tag for one player. Yes, you had to give up a second round pick, but I don't think Houston's thinking about that second round pick. They're thinking this is a franchise tag for us. What's the franchise tag for a receiver? 20 something million dollars, mid 20s, 22, 23. That's exactly what he got. So
And look,
it's a franchise tag to them.
and if the Texans go out and win the Super Bowl this year, then no, they will adopt the St. Louis Rams F them picks. We don't care about that second round pick because that paid dividends. But if they don't, and they still find themselves, let's say, in the AFC Championship game or the divisional round of the playoffs, because I expect the Texans to be making a run this upcoming season. Stephon Diggs has 1,400 yards, balls out. What do you do in 2025?
Well, you let him, then you allow him to hit the market. And if you want to get back into the sweepstakes of getting to Stephon Diggs, then you can offer a contract that is beneficial for the team. You can do that then without as many years. It end up being essentially a 3 year deal, a 3 year contract, but really a 1 to 2 year deal.
Crazy, wild. And if the Texans win the Super Bowl, then I will look like an absolute doofus. And if they don't, Nick Caserio might be the one looking like a doofus. But I want to get into your questions for D Mays. Ask D Mays coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And we've got a pretty great giveaway for the best question for D Mays. I will reveal what that is coming up next. Get those questions in for D Mays. We'll take your calls and your texts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D Mace.
On 1025 and 1063, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you've got a question for D Mace, we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts, and the best question for D Mace will win a pair of tickets to go to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway on Sunday, April 21st. And I know that is the weather is going to be beautiful. It's going to be a great race. So get those questions in for D Mace. Eric is going to kick us off. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, I appreciate that. You can take me out of the running because I'm not going to be able to go, but that definitely sounds like it's going to be fun. And I definitely want somebody that's going to be able to go that can really appreciate and enjoy it more than I will. And I could have jokes for you, and actually it's not that I do, but I'm actually going to go with the trivia question for you, Derek, before I get to what I want to ask you. Okay.
Okay.
I saw this earlier this week. In the modern NFL history, there's been one NFL head coach that has drafted three quarterbacks in the first round. Name me that head coach.
Modern-day coach that has drafted three quarterbacks in the first round?
Yeah.
Gosh. Oh, man, I'm trying to think. I can't. I don't know.
Well,
of it. I would
I'll
say
give you,
Bill,
I'll give
Bill
you a
Belichick, but
hint.
He's not coaching anywhere.
Well, this coach is also not coaching anywhere. But if you think about it, you can get this coach.
Oh, man, you're going to have to tell me.
It is Jeff Fisher. He drafted.
I was thinking about so you got – Steve McNair, Walker.
No. Steve McNair, Vince Young, and Jared Goff.
You're right.
Oh, Jared Goff.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking Jake Locker, but he had already left.
No. Yeah. He had already left. And, of course,
yes.
It was Sean McVay that unfortunately developed him. And Jeff Fisher trying to take credit for it, but we won't get
into
that. Oh,
wow. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. But here's my question for you, D-Mace. You know, one of the things I think is so hilarious is everybody talks about how people's draft stocks rises and falls and everything like that. And, of course, before last year, everybody was talking about J.J. McCarthy being either a second-round or third-round quarterback draft at best. Then after he won the national championship, I was still hearing everybody saying, well, they think he's either going to go middle of the second round or at best late first round. But now in the last few weeks, there are people saying he's the second-best quarterback behind Caleb Williams. I just don't get it. It's just – And I think it's just a lot of GMs and people blowing smoke up everybody's butt. And of course, you got, Jim Harbaugh saying that, he thinks that, oh, yeah, he's great. Of course, I think he's doing this so he can work a trade so he can get draft picks. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Do you really think he's that good, or are you just not selling him? And you just think, like me, I just think people are just blowing smoke up everybody's butt. I just don't get it, all the love to slurp on that. I'm just not totally convinced to sold on J.J. McCarthy. Maybe he turned out great. I don't know. But I just want to get your thoughts on that. As always, good to talk to you guys. Y'all take care and have a great weekend.
You're the best, Eric. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the call. So Eric was saying, do I believe all the J.J. McCarthy hype? Listen, I think J.J. is a good player. And every time I'm watching something and they're discussing J.J. McCarthy, it's, oh, he has the clutch gene. Well, that ain't going to win me no game. That ain't going to win me a lot of games just because you have the clutch gene. What if the clutch gene ain't working that game? Then what happens? I need some other things. I need to see your accuracy. I need to see your leadership. I need to see, you know, if you're going to step into that pass when you know that defensive end or that defensive tackle is barreling in on you. I need to see, can you manage and control and win games at this level? I don't know that yet. Did he win at the collegiate level? Absolutely, he did win at the collegiate level. But if you watch him, Jim Harbaugh is excellent at not putting everything on the quarterback. You can look at it when he was with, even though he had one of the greatest quarterbacks in college football at the time in Stanford. They ran a football and they played great defense. When he got to San Francisco, what did they do? Run the football and play great defense. Then he gets to Michigan. What does Michigan do? Run the football and play great defense, and their quarterback just don't mess the game up for us. He finally got to a guy that wasn't going to mess the game up for him, and that was J.J. McCarthy. Again, do I believe J.J. McCarthy is a good quarterback? I do, but the hype, I'm not believing the hype. We saw the same thing last year, Carolyn, with our quarterback here, Will Levis. They hyped him up so much so that people thought he was going to be the first player chosen or the second player and he ends up slipping until the second round. Now, I think the Titans got them a pretty good quarterback by waiting till, you know, by him slipping in the second round and then being able to get him. But we're seeing the same playbook over again that we have seen not just last year, but in previous years.
Yeah, and the argument of, well, he had success in college. A lot of quarterbacks had success in college that didn't work out in the NFL. Like, where is Mac Jones playing right now? Like, he's a backup. Uh-huh. And Mac Jones quarterbacked what you could argue is one of the best teams in college football history. But, you know, I look at J.J. McCarthy. Could he be the next Tom Brady? Sure. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, great. And then Michigan is known as QBU for the rest, for the rest of the season. But I look at how Michigan found success this past season. And I think J.J. McCarthy is like fifth or sixth on the list of the reasons why mm-hmm. Michigan won a national championship. So I'm not buying the hype, but we will chat with Tim Hasselbeck at the top of the hour. So I want to get mm-hmm. Tim's thoughts on that, if he's buying the J.J. McCarthy hype, because I know he loves Drake May. Billy is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Billy?
Hey, D-Mace, Caroline.
D-Mace, hey, Billy.
You should be in the Hall of Fame already. Let's start by that.
Well, thank you, Billy. I appreciate that.
I'm going a little over the top here. The Titans, the biggest problems for the Titans in the last 10 years, in my opinion, has been offensive line. They have not addressed, for the most part, any of that in free agency other than a center, I believe. I think that they think Mr. Callahan's the older Callahan is going to coach his offensive line up and make them better than they actually are. We've heard that for the last 10 years. And my question is, do you know if anyone has ever drafted only offensive linemen in one draft? I want the Titans to take every single pick they have and draft offensive linemen and have a plethora of offensive linemen. That way, if they miss on one, they got another one. That's my question. Can we do that, and should we do that?
Thank you for your call, Billy.
Thank you.
I don't think that feeling or that, like, him wanting the Titans to do that is so out of left field, because that's how bad the offensive line was last season.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Billy, first of all, thank you for suggesting that I should be in the Hall of Fame. I believe I should be, but that's for a different conversation, for a different time. And so does my host, Caroline, believes it as well. But I understand why Billy, like, listen, Billy wants offensive linemen. That's what he wants. Because he doesn't want to see his quarterback on the sideline. Or, you know, being put on a golf cart, carted out of off the field because he's injured. And I don't want that either. We've seen it for the last two seasons where, because of the offensive line inefficiencies of blocking, that both quarterbacks have found themselves on the injury list and missing games. I don't know when the last time a team has ever drafted all offensive linemen. I need to look that up. But I think there was one year where, and it might have been within the last 10 years, 10, 15 years, the Indianapolis Colts, because remember, their offensive line was horrible, so much so that Andrew Luck decided to retire because he was just getting beat up. And they went out and they went out and drafted offensive linemen, to help solidify the offensive line. Will the Titans do that? No, I don't think they will do it. Unfortunately, Billy, it needs to start with a left tackle. I don't care. Honestly, really, listen, I don't care who is there at that point, whether it's Neighbors or Harrison, and I think Harrison be gone, or Dunze, you need a left tackle. That's a dire need. It's not we need a left tackle. Let's go get one. No, oh, hell yeah, we need a left tackle. So if Alt's there and that's your number one guy, then you take him. But again, we've talked. If you have Alt and Fashanu or, you know, one of these other left tackles, because J.C. Latham plays more right tackle than left tackle. If you have one of these other left tackles and they're close in regards to their grade, how you have them graded, then maybe you will be able to pass on an alt if a neighbors is there. But if you don't have anyone in this class, why pass up a guy that you desperately need? That's my thing. You don't pass up a desperate need and a guy that many consider, you know, he's NFL ready. He's ready to go. You plug him in. You don't have to worry about him, you know. Obviously, if there's injury involved, yeah. But if he's not injured, you don't have to worry about this guy from what people are saying for the next 10, 12 years. So if that's the case and you need that position, you go out and draft that. The guy that's the best at that position. And right now, it's alt.
If the Titans decide to take a tackle with their first round pick and their second round pick, I got no problems with that.
Oh, yeah, me either. I can't sit here and argue it. Why? Because the offensive line has been their Achilles heel for the last two seasons.
It's that bad. And you still have three areas in the offensive line that have not gone addressed. Like, if Joe Alt's your left tackle, that's great. And I would be elated if the Titans went Joe Alt at left tackle at 7. You still need a right tackle, too.
Yeah.
Like, you got a center and you got a left guard, and that's all you've got. More questions for D. Mays coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Best question for D. Mays. We'll win a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway on Sunday, April 21st. We've got some tickets to give away to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway on Sunday, April 21st. So be the first person with the correct answer to this trivia question, and you will be going to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Call, do not text, and the trivia question is, who is the most recent driver to get their first Career Cup Series win at Talladega? The most recent driver to get their first Career Cup series win at Talladega. Be the first person with the correct answer, and it'll be going to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway. Back into your questions for D. Mace. Wes in Hermitage texts in. Our friend Wes, who we have to thank for the hash brown casserole.
Thank you, Wes, for the hash brown casserole.
He sent it in. He sent it in again. And he sent us some hash brown casserole again earlier this week. So shout out to Wes. Mm-hmm. But his question for D. Mays is, with all of the moves so far, where do the Titans sit in the rankings in the AFC South, in your opinion?
With all the moves that the Titans have made, where are they ranked in the AFC period or AFC South?
AFC South, he asks.
AFC South, I think at this particular moment, Houston's still number one. I think they are closer to Jacksonville than not. You look at what Indianapolis, them signing some of their players back, them having their quarterback come back last year's injury. I think that's going to be the big thing for them. How is he going to come back off of a shoulder injury? So I'm kind of putting them like on standstill, on hold right now. They coach, but I think if you're just talking about the Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Titans, I think the moves that the Titans have made have put them more so on par with Jacksonville. They're not quite on par with Houston just yet, but I think they are closer. Because listen, before the free agency started, they were at rock bottom. They just were, the Titans. They had depth problems. They didn't have that bona fide second wide receiver. Because of obviously Treylon Burks, he just hasn't, you know, and hopefully this is the year, and I'm rooting for the young man. Hopefully this is the year that he does it. But prior to the free agency, they had nothing really. So now at the free agency with the guys that you went and got more, you know, mostly on the defensive side of the ball, with the exception of, the center, Cushman, and then them going to get Pollard and Calvin Ridley. I think it puts them on par right now with Jacksonville. Jacksonville may be a tad bit ahead of them, however you want to split hairs, but I think it puts it more on par with Jacksonville than Houston. So I would say, you know, they're right below Houston in regards to where I place them. If I say, how does the season end right now, I think Houston's number one. Tennessee's two, but Jacksonville's not too far behind. They may end up probably closely the same record, I believe, right now as we stand.
And this division is so intriguing because you have three quarterbacks going into their, you know, their quote-unquote sophomore season.
Yes.
And you know, that second year, you could take a massive leap. You could have that sophomore slump. So that's going to be an interesting storyline to watch with this division moving forward. Skylar Texan, is D-Hop worth more than $12.5 million? Or are these other receivers just that much more overpaid?
Did we lose Caroline?
Oh, can you hear me?
Or did they? Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Caroline. Can I?
Skylar asks, is D-Hop worth more than $12.5 million? Or are these other receivers that much more overpaid?
I don't think it's about necessarily being overpaid. I just think it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, when D-Hop entered free agency, he came off a subpar season, and he's getting older, and he was injured. So to me, that's what caused, you know, him to, you know, get the contract that he has now. I don't think the other wide receivers are overpaid. I just think in D-Hop's case, it's market value for him because he held out long enough. Not that he was holding out, but I'm saying he was on the market long enough for teams. If they were going to pay him the 20 plus million, they could have, but no one wanted to, you know, go that high. The Titans came in just below $20 million, which I thought was fair market value. For D-Hop. So I don't see, you know, him being underpaid this year. I think if he was to go into free agency this year, it would be right around the same thing. It's fair market value. But that doesn't mean that I think everybody else is overpaid. I don't think these guys are overpaid. The top tier guys. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about the top tier guys. I don't think they got overpaid. I think they got compensated for the work that they have done and teams believe they will do.
You're worth what the market says you're worth.
Exactly.
I thought that Christian Kirk was overpaid whenever Jacksonville gave him that deal. Uh-huh. And Jacksonville ended up being the smart ones in that deal because they got
underpaid for it.
At this point now, yeah.
Exactly.
I would say Christian Kirk is underpaid. It is wild how massive the shifts in markets, especially the wide receiver markets, have been. Anyways, I know that you wish you probably could have been a part of this.
If I was born in 1984 or 94 rather than 74 of the year.
All right, appreciate everyone for getting those questions in for D-Mays. Coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us. We had a question about J.J. McCarthy. I've been asking myself that same question. Is the hype real for J.J. McCarthy? Is it just draft smoke? We'll ask Tim Hasselbeck, plus his thoughts on the Stephon Diggs to Houston move. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the St. Paul Saints at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20 p.m., first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.